A note from author Adam Gidwitz. Are you surprised that I've written this book? I may seem a strange choice to retell The Empire Strikes Back. I am known where I am known at all for fairy tales, particularly the dark, scary kind. I started working on fairy tales in 2008. I was a substitute librarian at a school in Brooklyn, and I picked up a book of Grimm's tales to read to a class of second graders. They were entertained, enthralled, enriched, and to be honest, slightly traumatized. Inspired by this experience, I wrote my first novel, A Tale Dark and Grim, which tells the true story of Hansel and Gretel by retelling many of the scarier, weirder, less known Grimm tales. My next two books, In a Glass Grimly and The Grim Conclusion, follow a similar model. What do I know then about The Empire Strikes Back? More than I thought, it turns out. You may be aware that George Lucas always thought of Star Wars as a fairy tale. He said as much at a banquet honoring the great scholar of mythology, Joseph Campbell. I set out to write a children's film. I had an idea of doing a modern fairy tale. Later, in an interview with Bill Moyers for the PBS series The Power of Myth, Lucas said about Star Wars, "If it's a tool that can be used to make old stories be new and relate to younger people, that's what the whole point was." Well, that's what I was trying to do with Grimm's fairy tales, to make the old stories new, to help younger people see the brilliance, the terror, the hilarity, and the beauty of those classic tales. Lucas also said that he was telling an old myth in a new way, that he was localizing it for the end of the millennium. And now I have the extreme privilege of taking what I wholeheartedly believe is the greatest modern fairy tale and retelling it in book form, and in doing so, localizing it for the young people of our new millennium. People sometimes complain that Luke Skywalker is not much of a character. He does not brim with personality as Han Solo and Princess Leia do. He is a little bland, a little empty, which is just as it should be. The hero of a fairy tale must be empty. What do we know of Cinderella except that she has to work in the ashes and her family is mean to her? Do we know her sense of humor? Her taste in literature? Her opinions on the politics of her kingdom? Of course not. That would ruin the story. Because the point of Cinderella is that we can put ourselves in her shoes, which, according to the Brothers Grimm, were made of gold, not glass. We all feel like Cinderella sometimes, mistreated, unappreciated, with great potential that is yet to be recognized. Her story has endured for so long and in so many different cultures exactly for that reason, because she is so universal, so universally empty. Many modern heroes are products of that mold. Huckleberry Finn isn't. You'd know him if you met him, even if he didn't tell you his name. But Harry Potter is. He doesn't have a sharply drawn personality the way Ron and Hermione do. What do we know about Harry? That he's brave? That he cares for his friends? Frodo Baggins is another example. We know Samwise well. Even Bilbo is an idiosyncratic little hero, bobbing from breakfast to Elevenses with a grumpy, frumpy, good-willed reluctance. Frodo has some of that, but not much. Mostly, he's brave and good. These heroes are not full characters. They are empty, intentionally so. They are avatars for the reader. They are empty so we can inhabit them, so we can do their deeds, live their lives, and learn their lessons. Luke is such a character, empty as a pair of shoes. In his Power of Myth series, Bill Moyers said to George Lucas, "I hear so many young people today talk about a world that is emptied of heroism, and there are no more heroic things to do." Lucas responded, "Everybody has a choice of being a hero or not being a hero every day of their lives. I wrote this book to give you that choice. I've measured those shoes just for you. Will you put them on?"